Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
They bring to me.
How I long
what's more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long
what's more to be
with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good evening, everyone. And greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. All right. Well, this morning, we finished up with chapter 8. Getting ready now to go into chapter 9. Do you know, we found in actually chapter 7 and 8 a lot of persecution and all that was going on and against the Lord Jesus and against those that were His followers. And now, here in our land, we are living the same thing. They just have not yet started locking us up here in our land for being followers of His, for teaching. But they give us all kinds of trouble. They took Jesus out of every place. They took even the Ten Commandments out of our government office buildings and all, where He used to be in every one of them. But not anymore. And if you are a Christian today, for the most part, you're looked down on. You're talked against. And our government has turned against the Lord Jesus Christ, against our Heavenly Father, against you and I and the church. This should have never been. But, you know, those that are the children of God are not really surprised, because His word warned us of it. And that's why we're going through the end of our Bible now. And we're going to be dealing, as we go through it, with different areas of time and places and people. And we're going to see the difference that the scripture gives us about man and man, nation and nation. We're going to see that we have fallen a long, long way. Not only from where we should be, but where we have been. And we let Satan and his bunch drag us and our churches down. We still have a few good churches out there, but they are few and very, very, very far apart. All right. We're going to be here tonight in Acts chapter 9. And one of the things we're going to be dealing with as we go through chapter 9 is the conversion of Saul, his testifying, and different things about him. And see how we stand. Now here in verse 1 of chapter 9, it says, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest." Now, those that are standing against the Lord Jesus Christ and those that follow him, who do they really run to get the authority to go against the people? They're going to those that should have been against what they were doing, but instead they were the ones given the authority for them to do the terrible things they were doing. He went to the high priest. Verse 2. And desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. He's getting his authority from the high priest to put all of those that he can find following the Lord Jesus Christ and believing in him, back bound to be imprisoned and killed. Don't sound much like a place for God, does it? Now, 3. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined around about him a light from heaven. Oh, boy. Praise God for that light. We need to be praising the Lord in our day and time and thanking Him for the light at that moment there on the Damascus Road with Saul. You say, Pastor, why that? Because that light was the Lord Jesus, and the change that was coming to Saul, not only was it for his good, but it was also for you and I today and those that will follow after us until the Lord comes back for his church. Now this light from heaven, going on now with verse 4. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Jesus asked me. And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. You know, sometimes we just can't understand why men cannot and will not accept the Word of God as it is written, accept the Lord Jesus Christ, put their trust and faith in Him, and the change that will come unto them is wonderful and marvelous. Here he is now with this light that he's speaking now with the Lord Jesus Christ. And here in verse 6, it says, And he trembling and astonished said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Rise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Think about it. Now, you seen this light, no? And inwardly he knows that it is the Lord that he's dealing with. And he does what he's told. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. They could hear the voice. Verse 8. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. He was blinded now from this light in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's being led into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. He fasted in those 3 days, even though he may not realize actually what he was doing. But that's exactly what was taking place. Verse 10. There was a certain disciple of Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias, and he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth. 12. And has seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Now, Ananias, he mentioned the Lord, here in 13, he says, Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he has done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. 16. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. He's letting Ananias know he's mine. It's all planned out for him, just as it is for us today. If we will but listen to the voice of God, both men and women, God has a work for us. And if we will do that work, he will give us all the tools we need, all the strength, everything that is needed to do the work he has for us. Think about that now. You see, because you've become a chosen vessel, are there things we have to do? Yes. And as we study this word of Almighty God, we'll know everything that we need to know in order to be exactly what God wants us to be. Now, here in 17, and Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, has sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. This is Ananias now talking to him. Now, Hold on a minute. Okay. 18. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. Now, a man that had brought so many back to be in prison and killed, all because of the name of Jesus. Now he's being called to declare that name. Makes you wonder, though, what was going through his mind, doesn't it? But that doesn't matter. Now, 19. Pardon me just a moment. That brother. All right, now. When he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with disciples which were at Damascus. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogue, that he is the Son of God. That's the difference in this man. This early, after receiving salvation. Now, 21. But all that heard him were amazed and said, is not this he that destroyed them that called on this name in Jerusalem and came hither for that intent, that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests? But Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. What a change. How much change has there been in your life? And how much more do you need? A lot start, but they never make it through. 23. And after that many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. Already after him now, he's being hunted just as he was hunting them. He's become a hunted now instead of the hunter. 24. But their laying wait was known of Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. So if he was going to get leave Jerusalem, they figured they were going to get him as he was leaving. Then the disciples took him by night and let him down by the wall in a basket instead of him going through the gate, for they was waiting on him. They put him over the wall and let him down. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples. But they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. Now, we're not talking about the 12 disciples that Jesus had chosen, because by this time there was many disciples. Because you see, even in our day and time, those that are the born-again children of Almighty God We are disciples. We walk and can carry many titles. We're disciples. We're apostles. Some are prophets. Some are teachers. Some are pastors. Some are evangelists. Depends on what God has got you doing. We're all saints. Them are all titles that we go by. Now, they were all afraid of him. They didn't believe he was a disciple. But then, here in 27, but Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way and that he had spoken to him and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And he was with them coming in and going out at Jerusalem. But you see, it took Barnabas to be a witness for him. Now, 29. And he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Grecians. But they went about to slay him. Another group now after him. 30. Which when the brethren knew, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him forth to Tarsus. They're getting him out of there now and sending him somewhere else. But you know, he's going to be kept on the move. This man that had treated God's followers so badly now is being hunted. And God is using him and going to be using him greatly. Because you see, he is the author of most of the New Testament. 13 books. Think about this. That God used this one, this man for. Because you see, that's the thing. When that change is made in you that is supposed to be, nothing will cause you to sway from the work that the Lord gives you to do. Nothing. No demon, no Satan himself, no sickness, no disease, no nothing. And they can hunt you from now on, wanting to kill you. But you will not stop doing what God has you doing. Now, 31. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost. were multiplied. You see, his stubbornness, his strength to continue the work through everything has now caused the churches and everything to multiply, and that even of the Holy Ghost. Now, 32. And it came to pass as Peter passed throughout all quarters, he came down also to the saints which dwell at Lydda. And there he found a certain man named Phineas, his bed 8 years, and was sick of palsy, of paralysis. And Peter said unto him, Phineas, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Arise and make thy bed. And he arose immediately. And all that dwelt at Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. If you will get in the will of God and do what is asked of you to do, you're going to see those that are walking in darkness change and come to the Lord Jesus Christ and accept that light, be forgiven for their sins, put their trust in him and their faith, and then they too will begin to grow and to teach and share with others. And that's what we need today in order to help harvest, bring in the harvest of Almighty God. But we don't find many that are willing to do it. It's got to be my way. And we tell the Lord, Lord, I'll go do it if you do this for me. Or if you do that for me. Or if you give me this, then Lord, I'll go do it. No, you see, you wouldn't do it. Actually, you'd be lying, but you wouldn't do it. Because your heart is not right with God, or you wouldn't be telling him such. He knows those that once they are called will stand. They may not even know. They may not know they'll stand. But he does. Now, we're going to be going now to 36. Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. Now, the scripture is saying here, Paul is telling us here, 36, that she was a disciple. But you see, we all are. Every born again child of God can carry that title as a disciple. As I tell the ladies, God has a work to do, just as he has for the men. It's just not the same work. Now, some things are the same, yes. But your work is not always the same thing. Now, 37. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died, whom when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. And forasmuch as Lydia was nigh to Joppa, and disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. Now he sent for Peter. Because, you see, they wouldn't be in use as Peter was being used by God. But then here in 39, then Peter arose and went with them. When he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber. And all the widows stood by him weeping and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them, and showing him all her pretty things and the things she did. But Peter put them all forth and kneeled down and prayed. He knelt down by her and prayed to God, and turning him to the body said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes. When she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand and lifted her up. And when he had called the saints and widows, presented her alive. And it was known throughout all Joppa. And many believed in the Lord. And it came to pass that he tarried many days in Joppa with one Simon, a tanner. You see how these men worked? Because they didn't walk in doubt. They didn't walk in fear. Their life was made to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we're going to go into chapter 10 here. Verse 1. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man, and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. Now here is a man that in this day and time was kind of unusual in his ways, because he was a devout man, as the scripture tells us. He believed in God. But this man was not a Jew. In fact, he was one that the Jewish men would have nothing to do with him. They were not even allowed in his home. We'll see this in a moment. Like I said, when I made a statement, you're going to see it in God's Word. Now, verse 3. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thy alms are come up for a memorial before God. Verse 5. And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. Tell him exactly where to go and who to call for. He lodgeth with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. Evidently, he's been praying for some answers. Now God is telling him exactly what to do. And when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants, and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. When he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. He's not hesitating, is he? He's doing what this angel had told him to do. And on the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh into the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And he became very hungry and would have eaten. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven open and a certain vessel descending unto him as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts and creeping things, and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, Arise, Peter, kill and eat. You see, God, when he tells one to do something, he has it all laid out to where it will all work. He has told this man to send for Peter. Now he's letting Peter know that they're coming. But he's also letting him know something else that we'll be getting to here in just a second. He told Peter to rise and eat. But Peter said, Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice spoke unto him again the second time, What God has cleansed, that call not thou common. You see, this is why we have to be very careful today. What God has cleansed, call not thou common. He's letting him know watch out. Here in 16. This was done thrice, three times, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. Now while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry about Simon's house and stood before the gates. They're outside now. And called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, were lodged there. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, Behold, three men seek thee. Arise therefore and get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. When Peter sees them, he knows who they are. Peter, he is Jews, and these are Gentiles. And he knows the Jews has nothing to do. But you see, God has already warned him and told him, what I've cleaned, don't you call common or unclean. And now the Spirit's letting Peter know. Go, without doubting. Then, 21, then Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius and said, behold, I am he whom you seek. What is the cause wherefore ye are come? And they said, Cornelius, the centurion, a just man, and one that feareth God, and a good report among all the nations of the Jews, was warned from God by a holy angel to send to thee into his house and to hear words of thee. Then called he them in and lodged them. And on the morrow, Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. Church, we need to listen to every word of Almighty God and put it in our hearts and our minds and bring it into our lives and live it. And if you're not doing it, get started at it. Get on the road of doing what the Word of God is telling us to do, because time is growing short and the Lord's going to be coming for his church. And those that are not ready will be left behind here on this earth, and will be going through things that they cannot even imagine right now. Think about it. We're going to stop here, and we'll be picking up here later, come morning. So we need to walk in the light of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and become that light of the world that he says we are, so that we can help bring in the harvest. We're told the harvest is ripe, it's ready, but the workers are few. Let's get to work to bring them all in. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, as we close your word, we thank you for this word, Father. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ that came, that was willing to take our beatings and to die on the cross, taking on death so we wouldn't have to, Father, giving us life for eternity. All that will go to him, accept him, bring him into their lives. And the Holy Spirit. Father, we've been given everything we need. We are thankful. We're praying for this land. We pray for all of your people to come together in prayer and bring this land to its knees in repentance of the evil it has brought upon mankind and the things and the evil that they are done to our children. Now, Father, all that are sick, we pray for their healing, because, Father, we are told in your word that we don't have to be sick. We are healed by Jesus' stripes. Think about that. He even took stripes to give us healing. Oh, Father, praise your holy name. Praise his holy name, Father. Thank you for sending me. Thank him, Father. Continue for the things he's done for mankind and all that will accept him. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that has come to be our guide, to be our comforter, to be our power, to do the work, Father, that you want each of us to do. Father, take care of us now through this night. Keep us in health, the safe. Let us rest, Father, through the night. Wake in the morning and be ready to be back into your word, your services, to lift up your name in praise and thanks, looking to the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit for our lives, thanking them also for the things they do for us. Father, watch over us all. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, all. Have a good night. Walk with God.